5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
This will officially be the final out of the game, you would think, although Lou Perfetto hustling all the way made it a close play, but that'll do it for the Astros in the ninth inning. They do get a run on three hits, the home run by Jeremy Pena, but they dropped their second straight game to the A's, and they are now 2-3 on this road trip, having lost their last three-game losing streak for the first time since late May. They will remain in first place thanks to a Mariners 5-1 loss.
Thank goodness for the Seattle Mariners and poor, poor Jake Bloss, who had himself a rough outing. Just four innings, four home runs allowed. And the Astros fell yesterday 8-2 to the Oakland A's. They look to avoid a sweep, Joe George, against Oakland of all teams this afternoon with the first pitch in about 30 minutes or so.
Yeah, that'd be nice to avoid it. Now, you know, it's not the end of the world. We've seen it happen before.
You know what? I'm going to say it's the end of the world. If they back in first place by percentage points, but just for the sake of embracing debate, Joe, I'm going to say it's the end of the world. Now, getting swept by the A's is so embarrassing. It's not quite peeing your pants or pooping your pants embarrassing, but I mean, it's certainly up there. It's having a pants tent in the middle of class in middle school accidentally. And there's nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. It's just protruding, and you're like, well, what am I supposed to do? I'm just a person growing up.
Now, last year, these games were at home. They were not on the road. But as the season's coming down to the end of the year, the Astros got shut out 4-0 against the Oakland A's on September 11th. They lost 6-2 on September 12th. And then Hunter Brown and the Astros won the third game of the season of the series 6-2. So, you know what? History repeats itself today. Hunter Brown gets the dub. And the Astros get a win to get back on track. Now, they lost their next three series, so let's hope that doesn't happen. But we're going to at least pretend, like, for this moment, that today is the day where everything gets back on track before the Dodgers come to town.
They need some help. They need pitching. I'm a procrastinator. Let me tell you a story. No, not the story I told earlier in the show about the little engine that could. The real story, the little engine that could. You know, little engine, the Astros rotation is this little engine doing its absolute best, trying so hard, going so far, only for the train to stop about three quarters of the way up the hill and crash back down to the bottom of the mountain, exploding and leaving toxic fumes in the air, which cause a chemical cleanup crew to come in with hazmat suits to scrape up some of the, you know, like wreckage and carnage of everybody who was lost on that train. Because that's where the Astros pitching staff could be taking. But this is my other story. I'm a procrastinator. Toyotas are very reliable cars. No, the first car I had when I moved down here to Houston was a 2002 Toyota Corolla. This thing had close to 300,000 miles on it. Huh? I think the actual odometer was like about 272,000 or so. And it was in great shape. Unfortunately, your boy was a master procrastinator. I knew that I had to get the oil changed in this car at some point, but I just was too lazy to, one, do it myself, two, take it somewhere to do it. And I kept on kicking it down the road and kicking it down the road, thinking that, I'll be okay. I'll just do it then. The Astros are at a point like this when it comes to the way that they are not addressing their pitching staff. And they have been extremely fortunate that they have been able to get all of the miles that they have out of one, Spencer Arrighetti, two, the few starts with Jake Bloss, three, all season with Ronel Blanco, four, the majority of this season with Hunter Brown. They are so lucky that they're at this point and in first place without having done anything about it. Not before the season and not during the season. They needed help the other day. I don't want them to find themselves like I did while driving back from doing a TV show shoot for Cube 57 TV, Sports Zone Unfiltered, while in the middle of the highway hearing a bunch of cranking noises in my engine, which required me to pull over to the side of the road and call a tow truck to get me back to a shop, which ultimately found that my car was dead. The engine had ground out to a sick and despicable death. Okay?
That's tough, Paul.
The Astros need to not do this, and I feel like their patience, understandable, but with every update essentially being, hey, Luis Garcia, setback. Hey, Justin Verlander's neck. I don't know. He's nearly headless. Dana Brown didn't say that. Lance McCullers. They have been procrastinating because I think they have been of the belief that they are going to get somebody back. But if the window is always open while Jim Crane is here, they should have done something already, and they should do something literally right now. And I saw you tweet this last night, Joe. Dana Brown should be picking up the phone, making calls. I'm assuming he is, but I don't even think you can wait for the deadline anymore. I think you need to make something happen right now.
If they can find a way to skip... So Bloss right now is scheduled to start on Monday. At least that's the estimation. He'll go against Paul Skeens versus the Pirates. Arrighetti's going to go on Sunday versus the Dodgers. Arrighetti's going to start on Sunday. But if you can find a way to not have Jake Bloss pitch on Monday, the day before the deadline, that would be in the best interest of the Houston Astros. Will they get that done? Probably not. The baseball trade deadline is such a weird thing. It really is in all sports. I don't really understand the logic behind all these teams wanting to wait until the last day to do it. When you think back to the Miles Straw trade, it was very odd. It was around July 20th, and it was, you know, a week and a half before the deadline at that point. If they can make a move right now, they should. Anything to take Bloss out of the rotation and to get him back into the minors is what's best for this team. So now you have to acquire someone that's on that rest schedule as well. So you might not really have that, but they got to make a move, and they got to make a move quick. And I would prefer them not to wait till Tuesday, but my guess is we're going to have to wait till Tuesday.
How does waiting until Tuesday benefit you?
It doesn't. It's just the way, for some reason, the way the sport works. All the trades happen on one day or within 24 hours, like starting Monday night. Like
are they center point energy because it's the 4th of July weekend? And we got to wait until the actual deadline happens. Like, we don't actually do any of this until that day. This idea, like some teams that are waiting in a holding pattern, thinking like things are going to turn around for them.
I think because it goes both ways. Like, Dana Brown is saying, if I just wait, the deal's going to get worse. And then if you're talking to the Rays, they're saying the deal's going to get better. But part of the reason why you have to wait is because while the Tampa Bay Rays are brought up all the time now for the Houston Astros, whether it's Isak Paredes or Yanni Diaz or Zach Eflin, who we mentioned earlier, they're only, what, four games out of the wild card right now? Like, they're kind of like the Mariners, where is a team that's 51-50 and 4.5 games out of the third wild card spot, are they really going to sell today? Or are they going to wait to see how the next 5 days go and then have to make this gut decision? That's what's so hard about
the
expanded playoffs.
If you're a seller, you also, to have the best possible leverage, probably need to wait. Because if they come to you, you can ask for more. But if you come to them, they're going to perhaps realize, oh, they're looking to get rid of this person. We can sit and wait. But this weekend, I don't think the Astros can really afford to wait anymore. Do you really want to see Spencer Arrighetti out there on Sunday?
No.
I don't.
No.
I know I don't. I think it'll get smacked around.
If you're going to win the Dodgers series, you have to win the first two games.
Yeah, I do feel that way. I know that we felt that for the Astros-Orioles series a little bit ago where Jake Bloss was starting on that Friday, that they needed to win the last two games, and then they won somehow that Friday game because they scored all the runs. And then they got a sweep. But I'm with you. Like, I feel pretty bad about Sunday. Like, I'd rather start Sean Dubin, honestly.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at with this starting rotation. Yeah. They needed help yesterday. They needed help at the beginning of the year. Stop procrastinating.
Yeah, if they could somehow manage to get through Friday and Saturday with Valdez and Blanco on the mound and could not use a lot of their bullpen, I would not be anti-pivot to a bullpen game or have Arrigetti go out there, give you like two innings, and then and move on to the next guy. And then get, I don't really want Dubin either. He stinks too right now. Like the bullpen's in a tough spot. Arrigetti is going to help this. He's going to stay in the bigs, by the way, I think.
You're not sending him down,
yeah,
I would imagine.
He's going to become a bullpen guy.
Until you get a couple of guys back. Oh, you mean like
after, like post-deadline.
Post-Garcia, Verlander.
Or whoever they
McCullers
trade for.
Potentially returning.
Yeah, and whoever they trade for.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know if I want him in the bullpen, you know? I don't know if I'd have wanted JP France in the bullpen last year.
Yeah.
They used him in that
a
couple of times. From the 409, this is Big Art texting in. James Paxton needs to be in an Astros uniform by the weekend. Anybody. Just get somebody else. Do it.
I mean, James Paxton, while it's not the best solution, it's a solution. It's better than Bloss. It does not preclude you from making a move at the deadline. It does not, you know, preclude you from doing anything you want. But getting a guy like Paxton to try to just help you get through this injury wave, it just does make a lot of sense. So I would rather sign him now and then get to the deadline and see what happens.
He is Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5. And 92.5, the Rangers are getting closer and closer in the rearview mirror. And is it a good thing to get in a fight at a training camp practice? Gallant and George, stay put.
You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Joe George is more scared of the Texas Rangers than he is the Seattle Mariners. I'm still looking at the Mariners pitching and thinking that their offense will get it back in some way, shape, or form by the end of the year. And by get it back, I mean go to being like the 24th best offense in baseball from the 32nd, which I know there's only 30 teams in baseball. That's sort of the point. They're really bad offensively.
The Rangers are in a position where they're going to get healthier and they're going to get guys back and they're willing to spend money, and the Mariners are not. And that's why they're the bigger threat.
The Rangers have more money. That is true.
Yeah. The Mariners just don't spend. Now, like, it is interesting to see, when you look at all this deadline stuff that people are projecting, that a guy like Max Scherzer could be traded. I don't know how. He's absolutely cooked. He gave them two innings, and then his arm was fatigued. His career is over, essentially, at this point. It just feels like every start he trots out there, and he's got nothing left for them. But they're just a better baseball team at this point in the season, and the Mariners are just – while the Astros are in a small slump again. I don't believe that this is reverting back to the beginning of the season. This is a rough stretch of baseball that this team is good enough to where, once again, they will come out of it and everything will be fine and there will be sunshines and rainbows and everyone will love the Astros again and the frustrations will be gone. The Mariners, I just don't feel that way. It looks like a spiral.
Can you entirely rule out, though, by that same logic, that the Rangers will be sellers at the trade deadline because of how much they are spending for this roster that is, while, yes, only three games out in the American League West and attempting to defend a World Series title, I mean, it's still a team that's 49-52.
They're a hard team to get a read on because of what happened this offseason, that they spent all this money for two straight years. They got into this offseason, they lost their regional sports network, and what they kept telling people and telling reporters was that we don't have any money, and that we don't have the money to go buy guys anymore. Could ownership sell and get rid of money? Yes. It's very possible. They're hard to get a read on. I can be very wrong about them.
They just need a push. And that is, I mean, they're playing against teams like the Orioles. They lost 2 of 3 to Baltimore. I think right now, like, this is one of those situations where, yeah, the Rangers are a little closer in the rearview mirror, but look at who they played. By the way, I forgot to play this. I just like to play this song because Walker, Texas Ranger, what a great TV show it was. Well, it's time for another episode of Rangers Watch.
In the eyes of a Ranger, the unsuspecting stranger had better know the truth of wrong from right. Cause the eyes of the Ranger are upon you. Any wrong you do, he's gonna see. When you're in Texas, look behind you. Cause that's where the Ranger's gonna be.
Walker told me I had AIDS.
Just wanted to play that.
What did Walker tell me is?
You heard what he said.
Did he say AIDS?
Yes.
Okay.
It's an actual Haley Joel Osment, Chuck Norris interaction on the TV show Walker, Texas Ranger.
I don't think I ever watched it.
I've only watched that clip.
Okay.
I've never actually watched an episode
of
that
show. I've watched a couple episodes. It's not good.
I've never met anyone that's like watched the whole show. No. But it like on social media, it appears like it was this cult classic thing or the show that just wasn't very good, but people watched anyway.
It's one of many old network TV shows that a lot of people watched that doesn't hold up well because TV shows did not have the budgets that they do today. It's sort of akin to watching Chicago Fire and Chicago 5-0 and Chicago whatever else is on TV, you know?
Yep, I know, Paul.
I just think it's funny that you watch those shows.
You're just so critical of my television, you know?
Well, yeah, anyone watching network TV, I feel like...
What's wrong with network TV?
It's not good.
I'm not saying it's like
it has
it's not,
commercial
it's not,
breaks.
It's not Game of Thrones.
They're talking like 30 episode seasons. Like everything's stretched out. The same thing happens every single episode, so you can miss one or two and come back to it.
That's right. I mean, look, it's not. I don't treat it like Game of Thrones. It's not, you know, 7 o'clock on a Wednesday night and Chicago Meds on. I'm like, hey guys, leave me
alone.
That's
the other one, Chicago Meds.
Don't want to check my phone for spoilers.
How is there a Chicago Fire, a Chicago Police in a Chicago Med, but there's no Chicago Gangs. Chicago Gangs as a TV show would be the fun one. People would watch that show.
It would be interesting.
You can't do it. Yeah, you can't do The Wire.
There's a show called Chicago that I've seen a preview for that kind of gets that vibe where it seems like it's a gang show.
Okay.
But
there's the movie Chicago.
Well, it's a musical.
Yeah. It's not about the gangs either.
With Catherine Zeta-Jones in it.
Good point.
To bring it back to where the Rangers are, I think they are not that far away from potentially selling. And the tricky thing for them is sort of what you were saying. They're going to have to make that decision rather quickly. And it's pretty embarrassing to not even try to defend your title when you're 3 games out at the wild – not the wild card break – coming out of the All-Star break. But with some of the teams that they are playing over the course of the next month, and of course, some of the teams that they're playing soon, can they honestly look themselves in the mirror and say that we're a contender? Problem is, you know, every day up to the trade deadline, they're playing bums. They're playing the Blue Jays next. They're playing the Cardinals after that. Like, it gets really difficult August 1st. But you have to get to August 1st. Mm-hmm. And if you're the Rangers, you could probably... There is a world where the Rangers are in first place at the end of July.
Yes.
There is 100% a world where that happens, especially with how Seattle's playing and with how poorly the Astros have been pitching.
Yeah, like you are struggling, and they play, like you said, the Blue Jays and the Cardinals, who are meh. They play Boston and when they start August. But that stretch is, for the Rangers, is going to tell their story between August 2nd and August 14th, where they play Boston twice, they play you, and they play the Yankees, who are unraveling themselves currently in the American League. So it's going to tell a lot. I will say, if I was a Rangers fan or someone part of that organization, like what you just said is so true. I couldn't imagine a world in which you win a world championship. you're in range, and then you choose to not be aggressive and buy at the deadline the following year to try to run it back, even if it blows up in your face. I just don't know how you do that. Like what the Giants went through from, what, 2010 to 14 or whatever it was, where they would win a World Series in the even years and lose in the odd years. You want to be competitive as much as possible. I just can't imagine throwing in the towel the year after winning a World Series.
It's not the Florida Marlins who did that twice. And honestly, like, they don't deserve a title having done that twice.
Yeah.
Because the Rangers have, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's either the fourth or the third biggest payroll in baseball. I think it's right behind the Astros. I think the Astros surpassed them this year. So if you're the Rangers, you'd look kind of like a bitch.
Yes.
If you decide to, like, you know what, whatever. But at the same time, there's enough players on the Rangers where, and we touched on this last year, where it felt like the Rangers sort of went all in. There's enough players on the Rangers that you can look at them and say to yourself, man, these guys are old as hell. Let's just get something for them, you know?
If they
take them to a pawn shop and get ripped off.
Like if someone gave them a Forrest Whitley level prospect, AKA is just hurt all the time,
that's
for Max Scherzer, that's
back.
A win for the Rangers. If you got a guy who's had six Tommy Johns for Max Scherzer, you take it.
Is that how many?
No, Forrest has had, I think it's only one Tommy John. It might be two. But he's also he's had suspension, just a million injuries. I think he's still healthy right now, but I'm not totally sure.
I'd venture, given the Astros training staff, which I imagine carries over from one level of the organization, from mm-hmm. the majors to the AAA, I would imagine he's not. A la Luis Garcia, a la Justin Verlander, a la Lance McCullers. I forgot his name for a moment.
And well, I mean, he's not relevant.
Kyle Tucker. The Kyle Tucker stuff should be back by September is today's update from Dana Brown. I mean,
hopefully.
What are we doing?
He would be disappointed if he's not back in September. So
Yeah, it is possible for him just to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Like that. That's he left. True.
Like Dana Brown put that on the table.
Very specifically worded, where it's like, it would be a real bummer if it was September.
But we think
it's August.
My God. I just want to repeat it one more time. And Dana Brown, usually so damn political. This is very politically crafted because there's so much. The language is such that it can be interpreted a variety of different ways. But after saying Tucker's starting light baseball activities on the field and is hitting inside, whatever that means, but the soreness of the deep bone bruise is still really sore, making progress, quote, I'd be really disappointed if it was September, but we're optimistic that he'll be back before September.
Day to day.
Zero promises.
Why did you start it off with the first part?
Yeah, it feels... Also, if
I'd be really disappointed, too. I'm really disappointed now, to be honest.
If he would have said, we expect him back in August, I think that's better than we'd be disappointed if it was September. Because you're already putting September in people's brains.
Yeah.
September... And everyone's brains is, well, that's the end of the season.
Well, it might be intentional the way he's saying that. Like, in terms of August, are we talking like August 29th? is that August?
I would take over August 20 or 15 and a half. I think it's October like 20th or August 20th would be my guess.
Yeah. I would say that's a good line, August 20th. I'd be fine with that, over under. I'm going over.
20th and a half?
Yeah, I'm going
Damn.
Over.
Damn, I'm going to go under just because I'm depressing myself.
I just don't think he's back in the next 25 days.
Don't get swept.
If he can work out sometime this week, then just a couple rehab starts, or keep rehabbing, and then rehab start, and then, yeah, then you can be back by August 12th. But if you keep working, every time you work out, it gets sore. Like, you just can't play.
Which is crazy because he apparently, like, just can't do many things. And you would imagine that you'd have to do some things to actually feel comfortable, you know, walking.
Yeah, because they said they said on the broadcast last night.
Not a doctor.
He can swing the bat.
Yeah, they said he has no problem in the batting cage.
But he can't move laterally. So he can't play outfield. Hmm. And he can't run the bases.
Hmm.
So it's not even to the point. And that's where I wonder if we get there first, where if at some point maybe he can he run the bases and he's just your DH? Because I would take that over just not being able to play. I guess when Bryce Harper came back from his Tommy John, he was just the DH until he played Kyle Tucker first base. Problem solved. I fixed the problem. I fixed two problems in one. Yeah. Kyle Tucker's back.
Yeah, I like this.
Two birds Kyle Tucker's stone. Back I like and this. Better at first base.
I like okay. this.
Boom. GM
only,
Joe
only downside, now we're getting into everyday Chaz McCormick territory.
Pedro Leon.
Boom. Solutions oriented.
Yep.
Joe George.
Yep. I like it, Joe.
Here we go. Kyle Tucker, first base, problem solved.
Joe's been dropping some baseball
if,
takes.
If today. Bryce Harper can do it, why can't Kyle Tucker?
Yeah. That's my challenge to you, Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
Be somebody. Raise your compete
yeah,
level.
Be someone.
Serious question. What would you rather watch? The United States against the French in soccer, where no one oh, that's playing is, you know, actually important, right? These aren't the national teams. These are like the like, next generation.
It's like
teams.
Under 22 or something.
Yeah, correct. But don't you get like two or three older guys? Yeah. I don't know.
It's
the rules.
It's like three exceptions.
Or the Astros trying to avoid a sweep against the Oakland A's. What would you rather watch? And again, there's only bad that can come from watching an Astros A's game. You get to answer that on the other side. 713-780-3776. We're giving you a difficult choice. It's Gallant and George. Stick around.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Shout out to our producer, Sean Mapes, playing How Long Will They Mourn Me in honor of the last ever Houston Astros game in the Oakland Coliseum. Unless the Oakland A's have a miraculous finish to the season. They have been playing better of late. They have won two games in a row against the Houston Astros and make the playoffs. This is the last time that we will see Houston playing in a stadium where one of the press boxes, excuse me, one of the broadcast booths was taken over by a violent possum.
There was a photo from someone in the stands last night. It literally looked like a bomb went off. And that's like the booth. Like, wow. It literally just looks like a booth that is decrepit.
Well, define why bomb went off. It's like it looks falling
like
apart.
It just like it's like a it's just like there's no paint on the outside. There's no glass pane. Like it literally like looks like what you would see in like a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, it's like
and Jeff and TK are just sitting in it.
Oh boy.
Like it's embarrassing.
Yeah, I think it's the road. It's the road TV.
Yeah.
Studio, because I think we played audio of like Keith Hernandez talking about it.
Yeah. It's just, it looks awful. It's so bad.
Not good.
Almost as bad as just watching the game last night.
By the way, guys, the 2024 Hunters Extravaganza, it's here. Go see the newest in hunting products, clothing, rifles, knives, and more. It's August 2nd through 4th. And we're giving away a pair of tickets right now. Caller 3 to 713-780-3776. If you go on Friday, next Friday, make sure you find us, Galana George, and the Killer Bees, because we're going to be broadcasting live from the 2024 Hunters Extravaganza from noon until 6. This is at NRG Park, correct, Joe?
Yes, Energy Center.
And our NRG, it's somewhere there.
It's an NRG area.
There will be signs.
Yes.
They will point you in the proper direction. I've always wanted to go hunting.
Never been at all?
No, I've never been at all.
Oh, okay.
There's people in my family who do it. My cousin does it a lot. My stepdad's done it a few times. I have never done it. I once saw my stepdad come back from doing it. And I think he had not quite placed the shotgun that he was using to shoot. I believe they're hunting turkey.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as tucked in as it needed to be. So he got a massive bruise on his bicep. Oh, yeah. It was beyond black and blue. I was shocked by how bad it looked.
Yeah. It's been so long since I've gone hunting. I haven't gone since high school.
Oh, damn. So you've gone hunting.
Yeah.
What'd you hunt for?
Deer.
Oh, nice. You killed anything? Are you the deer hunter? Did you, when you killed the deer, did you pull out its heart and eat it like it's Red Dawn?
No, I didn't. I missed.
You missed?
My buddy got a deer when we went.
Damn, Joe.
But
you shoot anybody accidentally, like
no,
Dick
no,
Cheney?
No,
okay,
no,
that's
no.
good.
I promise that didn't happen.
That's good.
But yeah, my buddy hunts. He used to go hunting all the time, like every Saturday morning with his dad. So I went like two or three times. So I'm not like an avid hunter, but I've gone occasionally.
Well, the Houston Astros are being hunted by the
we can't see it because the TV's broken. So,
Our TV's broken?
I don't understand what's happening right now.
Well, the Astros have two runners on to open up the game as they play the A's. I mean, there is a part of me that again, you can only have bad things happen if you watch an Astros A's game with the Astros trying to avoid the sweep. If they win this last game, I'm just going to be mad that they didn't win either of the first two.
That's a good point. So, what would you rather have watched? USA France?
Yeah, I think USA France.
And soccer?
Yeah, I would have rather.
To be fair, it was only on because I wanted to watch rugby a little bit.
Yeah, I'm kind of annoyed that you forced rugby on me for the first couple hours.
I was supporting our country.
But now you just choose to turn your back on our country in the sport that actually matters. No
better
offense.
Sport.
Soccer? Yes.
Rugby better than soccer.
Oh, gotcha. I don't know how it works, so I disagree.
And they're only 14-minute games, so they're fun.
They're 14 minutes?
Yeah, because they don't. So there's two versions of rugby. There's 15s and then there's 7s.
Okay.
So 15s is where they play like the full like 40-minute half with the Sabercats play. And then there's 7-on-7 rugby where they play on the full field, but each half is only 7 minutes. So it's very fast paced. It's very different than like traditional rugby.
Gotcha.
Because it's just such a wide space with such few guys on the field. So it's a very like, it's a more like, it's the, not modern day version, but it's the way they're trying to appeal to like the younger generation of fans.
Okay.
So yeah, it's a 14-minute game.
Pretty great. It's not, it's
pretty
it's,
great.
That's not catching me at all.
But yeah, I can't get this stupid TV to work. So we're watching the Astros.
Well listen, actually, we're doing a radio show, Joe.
Well, I just want to see what the Astros are doing. I want to see if they're making Paul mad or not.
Well, we'll find out later. Okay.
Okay, we'll find out
later. They're in timeout today. I don't feel the need to watch today's game.
It's been a while since we put the Astros in timeout.
Well, listen, you got all this positive mojo going. You take first place away from the Mariners, and then you followed up with two losses to the A's. Like, mm-hmm. It's embarrassing.
Hey, two men on, no outs, top of the first.
Let's go, dude.
You're on Alvarez at the dish.
I'd rather talk about whether it's good or bad to get in a fight at Texans training camp practice, and that's what happened today. For those who don't know, that was the big story coming out of it. It was a physical practice. You had Derek Stingley and Tank Dell in a tug of war when Stingley intercepted a pass for Tank Dell. They were fighting over the ball for like 30 seconds. Players had to come in and separate them. And then a little bit later in practice, Stephon Diggs has a catch. He slides down across the middle of the field. Jimmy Ward comes in late and doesn't really hit him hard, just comes down on top of him in a way that was probably a little bit more forceful than it needed to be. Diggs took issue with it. They got in a shoving match. Every single player on either side of the ball, offense, defense, came in. So it turns into this big mosh pit. And the next thing you know, at some point, Derek Stingley sees Dalton Schultz and just comes up to him and winds up and, yes, cheap shots him, but did send him flying. And I didn't know Derek Stingley Jr. had that in him. So the Texans got into a fight at their sixth practice of training camp.
Hey, you know what? You gotta get the squad going a little bit. You got competition. You got the most important position battles on the team.
Do you think
corner and wide receiver?
Did D'Amico Ryans tell Derek Stingley to start a fight as a false flag kind of operation in the same way Bill Belichick used to do that with Rodney Harrison?
I can see it.
That's how winners are made.
Yeah. Like Derek Stingley, hey, man, take out that Schultz guy. He got too much money. Got to keep him in check. Make sure he knows that it's still a battle. You know, Cade Stover, Brevin Jordan, they're here. So make sure Schultz, he knows.
No days off.
Yeah, no days off. Like, keep your head on a swivel. Dalton Schultz's head was not on a swivel when Derek Stingley cheap shot at him.
That's true. You do always.
He was looking down.
Keep your head on a swivel when you're on a football field.
Yeah, you never know who's going to get you. Your own teammates.
Even after the whistle.
Yeah. Also, Sting, like, please don't do that. Don't get hurt.
I don't think he's hurt.
Don't make a habit of this.
Yeah, like Jimmy Ward, fine. You want to get hurt? Whatever.
That's ugly.
If Stingley has a wrist injury afterwards, that would be a bummer.
That would be a really tough thing for the Derek Stingley Jr. brand.
Seen in a light cast.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I even posted a little video of him doing some drills today, and I made sure to include the important thing. a couple of B's afterwards because he's put the Sting in Stingley. Because you got on one side, you got Sting, and then the other side, you got the locksmith, Kamari Lassiter, who gave himself that nickname.
He's the second corner on this team.
He is the second corner on this team.
Are they rotating much?
I know
the DBs you said are a little bit farther away from you at times, but
the starting unit is not rotating at corner at all.
I'm really surprised by that.
Stingley and Lassiter. I'm not because the other guys are Jeffrey Okuda, and I have not even seen CJ Henderson out there. It's been Mike Ford who's been the other corner.
Interesting.
When they're in nickel, is it still Petrie as the nickel corner?
Petrie's moving around.
Okay.
So he's been at safety. He's been at nickel corner as well. I think the problem for them at safety is there's not necessarily somebody else to put in yet. But I will say Kalen Bullock has been sort of in the mix. And Bullock had a deflected pass today on the sideline coming over to help Jeffrey Okuda in coverage, but it was against the second unit. And he almost had an interception. I want to say, what day? It's on Tuesday. Or maybe it was Monday. I don't know. Everything's blurring together. I'm tired. I'll be honest. Getting up early to go to this.
Paul's grinding.
It's three different practices that you had to parse which one of it.
Yeah.
We're forgiving.
And I still, yeah. I mean, I still have to do my live stream, which is like where I add all this stuff together. And I'm like, oh, I'm tired. I'll be honest.
Paulie, the workhorse right now.
No.
I need some coffee. Anyway, hey.
It's not the off-season.
Do you have no coffee today?
No, I just haven't had any in over an hour. That's a long time for me.
I was say, like, that's concerning. Yeah.
Hey, the PG train needs its coal, right?
Yeah.
Woo woo.
I'll bring some K cups for the Keurig machine for you.
Oh, okay, I appreciate that.
Okay, just gonna make sure Paul's fueled at all times.
Oh, that's when I first started drinking coffee. You know why I first started drinking coffee? Because I kept on showing up legitimately 2 minutes late for work over at the flagship.
Uh-huh.
They were giving me shifts like where I just run the board, and I kept on not being able to get up when my alarm went off. This has been a lifelong problem. So I would get in at like 6:01, and somebody else, rightfully so, tattled on me for showing up at 6:01.
Bad teammate. Not you.
No, I understood it. This person wanted the hours I was getting.
Oh, so he wanted to stay.
She wanted the hours that I was getting. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
She.
Yeah. What? No, she was right.
Once upon a time.
He was assuming genders over there.
You're right, I was.
He doesn't think a woman can run the board.
That's not true. I've hired two female producers.
Why aren't they running the board then?
One of them got promoted.
He's too good at his job.
What a way to tap dance around that opportunity.
Once upon a time, I used to produce a morning radio show. Actually, I was just a board op on a network.
Oh.
And I was really good friends with the overnight producer.
Okay.
And I also, but I would way oversleep.
Mm.
So like I would show up like 30 minutes late.
Oh,
that's
no.
bad. That's bad.
Yeah, that's
I would have bad. Some issues.
I would just show up with like a case of beer every 2 weeks as an apology.
There you go.
And he was okay with it. Okay. I made sure to take care of my guy.
That's as long as you make the effort.
Yeah.
Some people are going to look the
and other that, yeah. that, folks, is a look behind what really makes the magic happen on on Sports Talk Radio.
Right. That's
just the favorite beer. Trading that happens.
Yeah. Just beer is like, it helps
Man,
you out.
You know what? When I was trying to get afternoons, I should have done that. I just walked into the office of a PT. Hey, here's some beer.
Well.
Here's some natural lights. You know, the upper class stuff.
Yeah.
All right. It's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You want to jump aboard, you can. 713-780-3776 to call or text in. Coming up in garbage time, you can buy one of the Dream Team members' Olympic gold medals. How much does it cost? You'll find out next. Galan and George. It's legitimately for sale. Stick around. Last chance to dance, Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm Paul Gallant, he's Joe George. We've got Sean Mapes behind the glass. So we'll see what the Astros do against the Oakland A's today, looking to avoid a sweep. Texans get a day off from training camp practice tomorrow. And then it's time for the Los Angeles Dodgers. El Doyers. You have a couple of texts here. The Astros don't want to go into the weekend on a losing streak with the Dodgers coming into town. That's for sure. And I am a little concerned about them. Another texter, Looks like Joe has high hopes again, looking to take the first two games from the Los Angeles Dodgers. I don't think you predicted them to win the first two games.
Yes, I have high hopes. Just like this texter, who clearly doesn't like me, it's okay, said that I had too many high hopes when the Astros were 10 games back, and now they're in first place. So,
oh, damn.
Yes, I have high hopes that they're going to beat the Dodgers.
That was a mature way of saying it, too.
They're so mature.
Yes, I have high hopes they're going to beat the Dodgers.
I kind of like that, though. Let's bring fart noises back.
I think so, too. Fart noises are funny.
Fart noises in disagreement. Disapproving. Like, that fat in your general direction. It's very French.
Like, what's wrong with having high hopes that they're going to beat the Dodgers? We didn't predict they're going to beat the Dodgers.
I don't even think you had high hopes. I just think you said you have to win on Friday and Saturday because Sunday you're throwing Jake Bloss out there.
Arrighetti, but yes.
My bad. Same thing.
Like, he's going to get smoked.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's yes. If you're going to win the series, you have to win the first two games. Those are facts.
I don't feel great about Arrighetti being able to adjust between a start against the A's and a start against a very superior team to the A's. Yeah. Can he bounce back before the end of the year? Sure. But
especially when Ohtani is hitting just rockets everywhere.
You're at the point right now where, I mean, you got to do something about the starting rotation. You've gotten a lot out of it. You deserve credit for it. But I think I can. Little engine that could. Like, this thing's about to go off the rails.
Yeah, they need to. It has to be the last Bloss start, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what, like Monday, it's got to be it. Arrighetti, I would prefer Sunday to be his last start as well for 2024. In a perfect world, that's where we're at coming out of the trade deadline a week from today. The deadline will have passed, and we'll confidently be able to say that Bloss and Arrighetti are no longer in the rotation. At worst, at least one of those guys has to be out. You can't wake up next Wednesday and not have added significantly to this rotation. Like Dana Brown said today on the flagship, add a third or fourth starter. You have to do that. There's no question about it.
Garbage time, me.
Beep, 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 beep.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
This one's quick. Did you see this? Did you hear about this? According to court documents, Diddy faces questions about his involvement in the murder of Tupac.
Good. Good.
Not surprising.
Not surprising.
Some would say like 30 years too late.
Yeah.
Okay.
The TV show that they did.
When no one could find him, great, fine.
About Tupac and Biggie, they really paint it as Diddy is in. About Tupac and Biggie, they really paint it as Diddy is involved in this whole thing.
Interesting.
So it's about time. It was pretty good.
How much do you think a gold medal for the 1992 Dream Team cost? Because one is available. Houston's own Clyde Drexler, his authenticated gold medal is for sale at the Golden Auctions.
$90,000?
Sean, what do you think?
I'll guess $50,000.
$250,000 for gold medal for the 1992 Dream Team. I gotta say, it doesn't look like it was taken care of. It looks pretty gross. It's kind of rusty, corroded.
Did Clyde have it and he's selling it?
He did. Yeah. Well, listen, there's a letter of authenticity in April where he claimed he has no intentions of fighting to get the prize back at any point in the future. But I'm wondering if this got stolen or something like that.
Yeah, or if he sold it and then at the time.
No, I don't think he stole. I don't think he sold it. I think it's unclear why he parted ways with it. But I don't know. From the sound of things, it feels like someone took it.
Interesting.
Did he leave it at someone's house or something?
Whoops, I hate it when I do that. And they sell it. Well, and they sell. I hate it when my friends sell my iPhone for $250,000.
Yeah. That's crazy. I couldn't ever imagine. I'm not a collector, so the idea of even having that much money and then saying I want a gold medal just doesn't do it
for
me.
That's a pretty cool one, though.
It would be cool to have.
I mean, yeah, that's
Dream
like...
Dream Team one, yeah.
It's basically a championship trophy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's from the Dream Team, yeah.
Yeah. That is true. But yeah, my natural bias against like all this, there's so much cooler things to do with a quarter of $1 million.
And it's a starting bid of a quarter of $1 million. So it could be sold for much, much more.
We'll see. We'll see. And on that note, guys, that's going to wrap up today's edition of Gallant and George. Big thanks to our texters, Twitchers and YouTubers, for Sean Mapes and Joe George, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.